Welcome to Outreach Sunday. Very pleased to see everyone. If you're new here, please sign the register at the back and join us in the hall after the service. We don't just have coffee and tea, but we also have sandwiches from they're Victorian sandwiches, so it's going to be really good. And please look for our activities on they're not that old, I didn't mean that. Please look for our activities on the website and ask for the minister's blog to be sent to you if you're new here. Now, my name is Paul Attic, and I'm with the outreach team, and we are holding the service this morning, and we're very excited about it. Now, first of all, my announcement, sad news. Cliff Young died on Tuesday. His funeral is this Wednesday, May the 1st at 1 p.m. at the Smith Funeral Home. May the peace of Christ be with all who grieve Cliff's passing, a much beloved member. Smith's Funeral Home. Guelph Line, yes. Guelph Line. Now, we're doing the W5 of Outreach this morning, so we're going to tell you what we're doing, why we do it, who, when, and where. And I'm going to call up the outreach team. Just about everyone's involved in the service this morning. If Pat and Bruce and Donna could come forward, we have a few announcements on the what of outreach, okay? Oh, I know. We're doing announcements. I've got Shirley on the schedule. I haven't forgotten. Go ahead, Pat.
Oh, jeez.
Good morning.
I'm okay.
All right, we'll try it again. Good morning. I have two announcements to talk about this morning. The first one is Sundries Sunday. It's always such a wonderful success, so we're having another one for May 26th. So from now, over the next four Sundays to May 26th, we will be collecting personal care items for our outreach partners to help those in need. A box has been set out by the food wagon for your donations. And suggested items include toothbrushes and toothpaste, combs and brushes, shampoo, deodorant, soap, mouthwash, incontinence supplies, baby diapers, and much needed this time, feminine products. Also, I've been told that opened unused packages of feminine products, incontinence briefs, or baby diapers will be accepted. The second thing that we have to talk about is coming soon, and it's for the first time for Appleby, and we're kind of excited about it as an outreach team. We will be collecting craft items for children of the Halton Women's Place, and we'll be doing this during the week of May 5th and 12th. Again, the box is set out for you. Let's see how full we can get this box and fill the hearts of these young children with the Appleby United Church congregation love and joy. Suggested items are, well, I've got a package I put together actually for my granddaughter. This is from the dollar store. And I've got a coloring book in here. I've got crayons and pencil crayons and little crafty things that they didn't end up doing. But I've just put it all together in this little zippered package. You don't need to do that, but if you feel inclined, it's kind of cute. But crayons, colored pencils, coloring books, craft paper, and small Crayola kits that you can get at Walmart. I thank you in advance. Your outreach team thanks you in advance for your continued support and donations to these very important outreach projects. Let's make a difference.
Bruce, you're next.
Good morning. Morning. Playing golf is an outreach project. Our golf tournament is the end of May, the last Friday in May, the 31st of May, at Deerfield Golf Course, which is just over here in Bronte, the other side of Bronte Road, so that you don't have to be a golfer to participate. You can sponsor a hole, and they're $50, and you get a tax receipt for that. So you can also join us for dinner and bid on our outreach, or at least our silent auction projects. And we'd like you to tee up, pay up, and eat up. Also, eating breakfast is an outreach project. The funds from our Applebee Cafe we have now allocated for outreach projects, and we have given money to the Mozambique project. We just did that, and so we'll continue doing that. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruce. Donna, Global Outreach. We've got a couple of pictures to show, I believe.
Good morning. I'm going to give you some follow-up information concerning the school in India that Chris and Dave McKenzie and Barry and I and four more co-travelers visited in 2018. Our visit to the school was unplanned and spontaneous. Our guide asked us if we'd like to see the school as we were walking by it. Our answer was a big yes. We were very well received by the students, two teachers, and the principal. And we saw a kindergarten class and a grade two class. The principal outlined some of the school's challenges, and some of which are basic supplies like paper and pencils and books. Applebee, through Global Outreach, sent $500 of Global Outreach's budgeted funds to the school to be used for the needs of the school. We've received a letter back from Yaduvar Singh from Bara. Bara is the little town that the school is in. Anyway, Mr. Singh is the school principal, and he has itemized how they use the money. And I'm going to read his letter to you. Hello, Mr. Burtis. Greetings from Castle Bara. I would like to apologize for not writing to you. Just got very occupied with work. But the money that you had sent for the children was utilized properly, and I made sure it was not wasted for unwanted wants of the school management. The school had asked for things that were more beneficial for the school staff, but the whole idea was to give to the kids for their comfort while studying. So I distributed steel tiffin boxes for each kid to bring food, then stationery and notebook for each student, and study desks in classrooms, and floor mats on which they can sit. Also maps and other informative charts that they can stick on the notice boards. Also tried to make the best of the budget, and we also managed to distribute another school where very poor tribal children go to study. So in total, with your funds, we donated two schools. Majority of the funds were used for the school that you had asked for, but all the extra items then donated to the other school. The school wanted smart class and computers, etc., but the budget was not enough for all these gadgets. And also, if I would have given them a computer, the teachers would have enjoyed more than the kids learning. So all the money that you had sent was used properly and has benefited a lot of children. I hope that's okay. Kind regards, Yaduvar Singh.
Thank you very much, Donna. I know Global Outreach is very diligent about that. There are a list of all the outreach activities in the bulletin, so you can see all the things the congregation has been doing this year. And now I'll call upon Shirley Gray to tell us about the Victorian tea yesterday. This isn't wine, by the way. This is water.
Good morning. We had a wonderful day at the Victorian Tea yesterday. It was enjoyed by everybody, even down to a two-year-old. In the hall today, we have a mini bake sale of some of the goodies that were left over and some sandwiches to go along with your coffee and tea. It took around 30 people to make this event a success, and of course, many hours of planning. Our tea committee was exceptional. Our waiters were wonderful. Our tea makers were terrific. And our cleanup crew were amazing. As my Aunt Marie would say, if I lived to 100, I couldn't thank you enough. And she lived to 103. So stay tuned for results in next week's bulletin. And I'll see you in the hall after.
Thanks very much, Shirley. I heard the men looked like penguins. They were black and white. Now, we give a lot of money over many years for mission and service, and we'd like to do a minute for mission every once in a while to remind us of what's happening there. So I'd like to call upon Randa to do our minute for mission. There we are.
Good morning. I had this whole book to choose from, to pick one page, and it didn't take long for me to pick, because on page one, there was a project that seemed to talk to me. Whenever I'm talking about Jesus, I say, if Jesus were with us this day in Canada, he'd be in the Vancouver's downtown east side. He wouldn't hang out Shore Acres in Burlington or places like that. He'd be with the really, really needy people with lots of problems, and sure enough, the first page addresses that area. Our gifts for mission and service support ministries to those living on the margins, like First United Church Community Ministry in East Vancouver, British Columbia. The community has become the epicenter of the converging crises of mental health, addiction, extreme poverty, homelessness, and marginalization. The people who gather here for help are people who literally have nowhere else to go. They may have been rejected by other shelters, mental health supports, hospitals, or their own families. They are among the most regulated and constricted members of our society. And yet, as Executive Director, the Reverend Dr. Carmen Lansdowne shares, every day since I started at First United, there has been a moment when I'm surprised by joy. Watching two participants in our weekly spirit circle move through hostility to forgiveness. Seeing the brother of a young woman who was murdered on the Picton farm sweeping our steps because he knows the role our staff play in advocating for missing and murdered women in our community. When we shift our view of the notorious downtown east side from the negative to the positive, we receive the joy of seeing growth and community, not just poverty, addiction, and despair. I am filled with gratitude for the opportunity to serve this community, and I hope to be always surprised by joy in this place. If mission and service giving is already a regular part of your life, thank you so much. If you have not given, please join me in making mission and service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our mission and service. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Randa. To remind us that Jesus is with us, I'll now light the Christ candle. Let us open ourselves to the love and peace of God that we celebrate as we worship today. Let us acknowledge God's presence. This is the day the Lord has made. Worship the Lord with gladness. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and these courts with praise.
Give thanks to God. Bless God's holy name.
Jesus Christ, our Sovereign, who is seated above all powers in the heavenly places, we worship you with gladness, for you are over all things the head of the Church.
Jesus Christ, Son of Man, who stands with us when we are hungry and sick, we give you thanks and bless your name.
We come to you, you who are enthroned above all, even as you stand among us, and we thank you for your faithfulness to all generations. Our next hymn, in Voices United, number 624, Give to Us Laughter. Please be seated. Let us pray. Sovereign Christ, Shepherd King, you seek the lost and hurting, the strayed and the weary. We also ask your forgiveness when we have injured others and scattered the weak, when we have forgotten that we are your strong and tender hands in this world.
Forgive us and renew us, that we may accomplish your saving work in the world.
We know that we have the assurance of God's never-ending love. God's steadfast love endures forever. Because of this love, we are forgiven. Because of this love, we receive the rich and glorious inheritance of God's life and power. When we look into the face of our brothers and sisters, we look into the face of Jesus himself. So look with new eyes and see Jesus as you welcome your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now we'll have the scripture reading.
Good morning. The stories of Jesus, Matthew 25, 31 to 46, the final judgment. When the Son of Man comes as King and all angels with him, he will sit on his royal throne, and the people of all nations will be gathered before him. Then he will divide them into two groups, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the righteous people on his right and the others on his left. Then the king will say to the people on his right, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, come and possess the kingdom which has been prepared for you ever since the creation of the world. I was hungry, and you fed me, thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you received me in your homes, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me, in prison, and you visited me." The righteous will then answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and welcome you in our homes, or naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The king will reply, "I'll tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these followers of mine, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Away from me, you are that are under God's curse, away to the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, but you would not feed me, thirsty, but you would not give me a drink. I was a stranger, but you would not welcome me in your homes, naked, but you would not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, but you would not take care of me." Then they will answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and we would not help you?" The king will reply, "I'll tell you, whenever you refuse to help one of these least important ones, you refuse to help me." These then will be sent off to the eternal punishment, but the righteous will go to eternal life. Word of God. Thank you.
Go ye into all the world, go ye into
Thank you very much, Ian, and the choir for that wonderful anthem of outreach. We're going to talk in this sermon today about the W5 of outreach, what, why, who, where, and when, and we're still on what we're doing. You've all heard of OCC. We talk about OCC all the time. It stands for Our Community Cares. But what it really stands for and is all about is a low-income subsidized housing complex that's just down the street from us. We've been working with them for many years. June Perry has been our contact from the team, and she asked them if they could do a little video to show the congregation, and just the other day they came up with a terrific little video to show you what it's like there, and we're grateful that we're able to help them, and they're grateful for us. So if we could show that video and turn the lights off.
Hello there. My name is Diana De Silva. I am the site and program coordinator here at Burloak OCC. I wanted to take this opportunity to thank all of the members of Appleby United Church for your continued support and years of partnership with OCC. It takes a village not only to raise the children of tomorrow, but to also run a nonprofit community center. We could truly not service our clients without your help. Our partnership is paramount to everything that happens here at OCC, starting with the donation of your time. Something as small as taking time to purchase a canned good at the grocery store has a huge impact on the families we serve. Dropping food off each week, taking time to donate clothing and furniture, coordinating pickups and delivery of that furniture, donating time to collaborate with Healthy Kids Community Challenge in order to provide space for a cooking program, donating time to teach a knitting class. You've also donated time to provide an upcoming cooking class for 8 youth. And over the years, you're always willing to donate time and kitchen space to help OCC staff prepare for our annual spaghetti dinner. I'm positive that over the years, a lot of man hours have been donated supporting OCC and the families we service. However, your support does not stop there. Appleby United Church makes monetary donations each year as well, which has a large impact on the children, youth, families, and programs as a whole. You guys fill the bellies of children and youth each week by funding our after-school snack program. Each year, you sponsor children and youth to participate in our summer camp programs, which allow them to develop new life and social skills, meet new friends, and most importantly, create memories to last a lifetime. In the past, Appleby United Church has provided children and youth the opportunity to participate in extracurricular activities such as karate and driving lessons. These are things they may not have had the opportunity to participate in otherwise. Your generosity does not stop there. Appleby United Church also donates money directly to our community cares to help fund all the other children, youth, adult, and family programs we have going on here. Like I said earlier, it takes a village, and we are so happy to have you as part of that village. On behalf of the families we service and the staff here at OCC, we would like to give you a big thank you. We could not do this without you.
Oh, isn't that great? It's so nice to see the smiling faces of the kids. Our community cares, so we can remember that as we go forward and continue to support them as we have for a long time. That was Belinda speaking from OCC. Was it Diane? Okay, thanks. Thanks, I got that wrong. Thanks. Now, a few more smiling faces. The last item we're going to do under what we're doing is Case for Kids. We're ramping up for that. It's on June 2nd. We have a little short PowerPoint that Steve's going to put on now and dim the lights, and it's coming. And I'm going to just talk briefly about it with the slides. There we go. Wesley's in Wormwood Ministry in Hamilton, their largest fundraiser is June the 2nd. We got lots of smiling little kids in the t-shirts. A lot of churches are involved in this, and they've done very well over the years. I just wanted to show you pictures of people out there at Bayfront Park. It's really a lot of fun. Hamilton, third highest rate of child poverty in the province. Amazingly, so it's really important. They are our immediate neighbors, and it's very helpful to serve them. Been running for over 30 years. They've raised over $1 million altogether, and Appleby's been a silver team fundraiser for a long time. We have an Appleby team, which you can help support, as you often have, with the pledge form, which we'll have in the hall after the service. We have young and old walkers and riders. Child poverty, a major issue, of course, in Hamilton and in Burlington. And there's poverty in Burlington as well, and they are supported by this program. It comes right from Brantford through to Burlington. The youth programs are really amazing there, where they get kids off the street and put them back in school and help them out. They come from really dysfunctional families. Summer camp, after school programs, and as I said, the homeless housing. These are all supported by the funds that are raised by this walk, run, ride each year. June 2nd, they have lunch and entertainment and games, so there's lots of fun for all the people that show up. Bayfront Park is downtown Hamilton on the water, a beautiful place. So nutritional and educational opportunities for newcomers to Canada, people that really, and others that are, you know, need the support. Everybody can come, including grandkids. See, they all got the t-shirt. The team this morning are all wearing the t-shirt as well here at Appleby. They thank us, and we thank them for all the work that Wesley Irving Ministries is doing. One day it poured with rain. This isn't that day. We really got soaked one year. A lot of money raised. Dogs are welcome to come too. Dogs and grandchildren are very popular at the walk. Walk, run, ride, or stroll. So, oh, this is the grandkids showing up. Jill has her special glasses on for the day. So thank you very much for that. The forms are in the hallway. You've all supported us very strongly, and I wanted you to see the smiling kids that we support. Thank you. Okay, we can put the lights back on. Thanks, Steve. Now I'd like to get into the why. We've had the why of outreach quite a bit in the prayers and hymns, and I'm going to call upon Randa for a short meditation on why we do outreach.
Hello again. Do you agree that there's a lot of bad news in the world these days and all the time? Could you give me examples of sad news, disasters?
Mozambique.
Sri Lanka. So one man-made, one natural disaster. I'm sure we have some political disasters as well. There's always something. Also man-made, because we vote for these people. So there's so much bad news. Even after seeing that video, sometimes it's hard to feel like we can make a difference when you are bombarded by images of hundreds of thousands of people displaced by war, persecuted by their own governments, forced out of their homes by natural disasters, and seems to be just getting worse and worse all the time. So it's very easy to have this feeling of frustration, being overwhelmed, that we can't do anything. Don't we wish that we could just like snap our finger and the wars would end and world peace would result and world hunger would disappear? Wish it were so easy, but it's not. The reality is you and I individually cannot save the world. We cannot lift all the poor up to a comfortable standard of living. We cannot reverse or fix all environmental damage. We cannot end all the world's pain and suffering. But this doesn't mean that we are unable to do anything or that we should give up. Far from it. Each one of us has the power to do something, and together we can make a difference. We've seen some examples today. Sometimes the problems will seem overwhelming, and it will feel that we are not making a dent at all. Seeing and hearing all the bad news from around the world, it is indeed very tempting to do nothing, since we cannot possibly do enough to make a difference. When feeling overwhelmed by the need to do so much, it is easy to freeze and do nothing. But think of what the Bible stories would be like if Jesus had said, "There are too many lepers, too many blind men, too many sick women. I cannot possibly save them all, so I'm out of here." What should we do? What can we do? The enormity of the problem should not stop us from acting. There is always a first step to be taken, and some issues are too large for one person to resolve. That's why it's so good to be part of a caring community like Appleby. We can at least make a dent. Don't be overwhelmed by what needs to be done. Save a small part of the world by helping one person or one family. Donate to outreach projects. Volunteer at the food bank or the hospice. Help the earth by being environmentally responsible and doing as much as you can to minimize the damage yourself. Making a small difference is still making a difference. By working together, we can make an even bigger dent, an even bigger difference. Please join us in the spirit and work of outreach. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Randa. I'd just like to call upon David Jack to tell us a little more about why we're doing outreach.
Good morning. Studies have shown that religious people or people of faith contribute proportionately much more to charity and volunteer more than others. One of the important parts of that is that people who attend services regularly on faith units contribute even more. So I would think that right here the people of Appleby fit right in with that. We can certainly feel good about what we as a church and individuals have done in outreach. And importantly, what we have the opportunity to do in the future. So the why this time is why do people in faith do that, and not only do it from time to time, they do it consistently. The first clue is that people who attend church regularly and contribute more and volunteer more. So where does that lead us? Now there's a Cherokee Indian legend that goes something like this, and you've probably heard it in different ways. A grandfather was talking to his grandchild about life, and particularly about good and evil. The grandfather explained that within him there are two wolves, an evil wolf and a good wolf. And each one was continually trying to dominate the other. The grandchild thought a bit about this for a minute, and then he said, Which wolf is strongest, Papa? And Papa or Grandfather considered that question. And then after a moment, he said, the one I feed the most. Now, one of the reasons I come to church is to get fed. What do I get fed? And at church. And the menu is quite similar each week. It's in the bulletin. I acknowledge God's presence. I have time of reflection and saying I'm sorry. I'm assured of God's never-ending love. And Reverend Allen helps me, and I think he does a very good job in reflecting on God's word. And then after all that, I'm sent out, as we've said and sang quite often. I'm sent out into God's world with God's blessings to make a difference. Now, I have a problem with the word evil. I don't consider myself evil, and I don't think any of us are evil. But I certainly can be indifferent to the needs of others. I have been, and hopefully I won't in the future. And the difference between making a difference is indifferent is huge. So what I'm fed at church is much more different than what I'm fed by reading the newspapers, watching TV, or hearing from the people in the secular world. We're all quite familiar with people, politicians, but not all politicians, and not only politicians, who are very skillful at feeding the evil wolf within us. And I think it's in all of us. They drop little things that they say, and it triggers something in us. And they're very skillful at it. For me, if I don't attend church regularly, do my devotions, attend my men's small group weekly, I know I can slip back into being indifferent. So why do people in faith contribute disproportionately more to charity than others? Well, I think we do it by regularly coming to church and being fed the right stuff. So we don't become indifferent. One of the things I learned at church is that outreach isn't an add-on to being a Christian. It's fundamental. Absolutely fundamental. Now, we use the word outreach, but in Scripture, the terms are sometimes works or deeds or actions. And the book of James, I'm sure you read it from time to time. It's a little book at the back of the Bible. And probably the most famous thing that James has ever said kind of deals with this. And there's a scripture, James 2:14-17, I'll just read. My friends, what good is it for one of you to say that you have faith in your actions, but do not prove it? Can faith save you? Suppose there are brothers or sisters who need clothes and don't have enough to eat. What good is there in your saying to them, God bless you, keep warm and eat well, if you don't give them the necessities of life? So it is with faith. If it alone includes no actions, then it is dead. Well, faith certainly isn't dead at Appleby because we take lots of actions. But I think it's important to remember that there's a bad wolf inside of us too. And he picks up all sorts of things from what's happening, and we need to be here to help us to feed the good people. Now, a lot of people who are not religious or Christian, people of faith, do good works because they believe that's the right thing to do. We as Christians always think that too, but we have the added incentive of Jesus commanding us to do good and giving us in the form of parables quite specific examples of what we should do. Now, the scripture that was read this morning is a parable, and the parables, of course, are quite somewhat exaggerated for teaching purposes. So when Jesus talks about the goats going to everlasting hell, I think he just wants to get our attention. Now, Jesus' commands are actually quite simple and involves our response to daily situation, and very importantly asks for our personal response. He talks about feeding the hungry, giving the thirsty something to drink, inviting the stranger in, clothing those in need, visiting those in prison. Now, not surprisingly, Jesus' command sounds a lot like our mission statement. Our mission statement, if you don't remember it, says, walking with Jesus, we comfort the sick, feed the hungry, welcome the stranger, engage in conversation about God, seek justice and resist evil, and gather to worship God. So, we've listened to Jesus, we've put these into our mission statement, and with faith we have to live them. Now we can take that further. For example, we do need to fill the food wagon every week, but it would be good also to support efforts to make food banks unnecessary. I volunteered at the food bank for a long time, and unfortunately, they have become, didn't used to be, they've become part of our life. People depend on them all the time. The answer to hunger is not to have a food bank. The answer to hunger is to create a situation where people are not hungry in the first place. So that's what we mean in our mission statement, to seek justice and resist evil. There's some other teaching by Jesus which also gives us incentive for outreach. And if you recall the parable about the wise and foolish builders, and these words that he says precedes that, and he says in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do as I say?" And I suspect there's some frustration in Jesus' words as he says that. And he spoke the parable of building. The people that listen to him build their house on a rock. The people that don't listen to him and do what he says build their house on sand. So it's important when we say, Lord, Lord, to Jesus, that we do what he says. And if we listen to his words, we'll build our house on a rock, and from that we'll be able to help others. If we don't do as he says, our house could very well be built on sand, and we're not going to be able to help others. In the Lord's Prayer, which we'll say at some point in the service, we say, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." And I think we know that it's our place, it's our duty, it's our responsibility, it's part of our faith to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. And that's what we should be doing, and that's what outreach does, and we do it well. I'm happy to be part of Appleby, a place where I'm spiritually fed and have the opportunity to participate with others and to do my modest part in forwarding the kingdom of God on earth. Like everyone else, I have been given gifts, but I also have my limitations of my abilities and resources. And as I grow older and hopefully wiser, I have to use the gifts I've been given, and my resources require adapting. I like to think that with the help of the Holy Spirit, I will still have a part to play. I'm glad to see that Appleby Church, with its long tradition of outreach, continues to use whatever resources it may have effectively. And as I prepared this, I did become more conscious of the fact that actions are necessary, and I think that's hopefully something we can all at least think about. So I'll just kind of repeat the word of James. Faith alone is not sufficient. Actions prove your faith. Thanks.
Thank you very much, David. Appreciate that on why. I'm just going to very briefly go through who, where, and when. Now, the who, of course, is us, not just the outreach team, but the whole congregation. The who also are new people that might come into our church. We believe that a church that is looking after others and reaching out and helping is a very attractive group for people in secular society that are just searching, and they're not looking for deep worship moments right off the bat. They're looking maybe just for the golden rule and helping others. So it's attractive. So new people can help us with our growth. Now, as far as the where goes, your vision lead team has studied this and talked to people for a year now and other churches and experts, and we need to think outside the walls. That's our future. That's how we will progress. Think outside the walls. The needs of the community. The where is out there. So talk it up on the front lawns and the condo halls and the Tim Hortons of the world. The where is out in the neighborhood. And as far as the when goes, there's no time like the present. The next 5 years is going to have great opportunity for Appleby. Yes, we will have to look after our financial security. And yes, we will have to fix up this building, no question. And yes, we should also reach out. And I finish by just saying, let us plant more seeds to nurture faith, hope, compassion, and justice. Now, our next hymn is from Visions United, number 509, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let us now give thanks for the many ways we can reach out and give to God's work in the world. Let us now receive our offerings. Let us pray. There are so many people in this world who are in need. Please show us how we can help. Use us, Lord, for your glory, and use us to be a blessing to others. We pray you would show us how to use our resources. Give us eyes to see those who are in need. Show us how we can use our gifts for the great purpose of drawing hearts back to you through generosity. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. At this time, we remember all those with whom you would have us share your feast. We pray for all who are in sorrow or in pain, all who are ill or alone, all who live with fear, oppression, or hunger, all whom the world counts as last and least. We pray for your church and its varied ministries, for Canada as it strives for peace and justice, for the earth in the fragile web of life we share, for our families and friends. We pray especially for our Community Cares and Wesley Irvin Ministries and all the children currently living in poverty. Give us courage, strength, and wisdom as we reach out to our neighbors in our community. Now let us pray in unison as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our trespasses, as we trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. Now our closing hymn is a bit of an outreach anthem from More Voices, 209, Go Make a Difference. And may the God who dances in creation, who embraces us with human love, who shakes our lives like thunder, bless us and drive us out with power to fill the world with her justice.
Thank you.
please join us in the hall for coffee, tea, and sandwiches, and signing up for golf and case for kids. Please greet your neighbors by saying, "Peace be with you. Now go make a difference." You guys are having fun.